On Sunday, December 8th at 11 p.m., Sugar Mabou will present pianist, composer, arranger, and producer Bob James. This program was originally presented in June of 2006 as part of WBAI's Hip Hop Takeover. Join us as we discussed the career of Bob James and his relationship to the hip-hop art form. That's Sunday, December 8th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Joyce Jones. You're listening to Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Thank you, David Kenny, for Everything Old is New Again. He'll be back next week. We'll both be back next week with a fun drive-type program because we're raising funds next week. But we're not doing it tonight. Tonight we're going to entertain a program that originally aired during the hip-hop takeover. But it's Bob James, and it's all good. And you will not have heard... I'm sure you didn't hear it then. And it's been sort of revamped and upgraded. And you'll think it's interesting. I know you will, because Bob James is an interesting cat. As a matter of fact, he's... stay tuned for the show. Learn something. I know I did when I spoke to him. He's a generous man, I tell you. Get ready for... What's this? Want some sugar. My bowl. Hello, my name is Joyce Jones, and I'm here talking with
Bob James.
Hi, Bob James.
Hi, Joyce.
Thank you very much for allowing us some time. I wanted to talk to you because I grew up listening to jazz, thanks to my parents. And I noticed that a lot of your music has been sampled. How did you find? Did you find out? Did someone walk up to you and tell you?
A little bit like that. I was a latecomer finding out about it. My life was just kind of going on as usual, and several people started to tell me or ask me. Actually, was I aware of the fact that my music was being used in various at that time rap stuff? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether the word hip hop had been coined when I first found out about my music being used. I didn't believe them at first. I said, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. And when I first heard I think the first one that I heard was on a recording of Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince,
mm-hmm.
that had already been out long enough that it had been nominated for a Grammy.
Wow.
And when I first listened to it, it's just a big shock because they had taken a piece of mine called Westchester Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how you could really call this a sample. Eventually, we started using this word sample, but mainly what they had done is just taken my recording and rapped over it, almost the whole recording.
Right.
Loyal fans and newfound followers. Oh, by the way, the album's out. Go get it. We went to the studio and then we made a video. We didn't make a movie though. Maybe the next year or so, yo. I got a message for my fans and friends. The last album was Stuck, y'all. And
what is this? You know, what's happening? Can they do this legally? Have they? And of course, when I did my research, they couldn't do it legally. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, I think there was very loose on most rappers who either didn't know or didn't care, or the legal part of the record industry hadn't caught up. And so in those days, on a kind of defensive catch-up to letting them know that they really didn't have the rights to do something with my stuff without my permission.
Right.
And it both became a very complicated negotiating thing that I had to do, and sometimes painful, sometimes not so much so, but at the very least showed me the power of copyrights,
right,
and how you can protect yourself, and that you, through this 15-year period of time or however long it's been a challenge for the whole industry to try to keep up, and in many ways the industry is not keeping up. iPods and all of these various phenomenons that have come along where people expect to have music any way they want it in all kinds of different forms, and it's very easy to do digitally.
I suspect that even hip-hop artists learn to protect themselves in the way that you had to protect yourself.
Well, yeah. And interestingly enough, it's gone many, many levels where I've been involved with some stuff where a sample of mine has been used on a recording, and then that recording gets sampled.
Mm.
So you, and then, you know, so you get two or three generations down the line,
right,
and you have to figure out, well, who owns the rights to what?
Right. Well, I would hope that the person who initially sampled it got permission first, and then you can work from there.
Yeah. In more recent times, it's become more unusual for the permission not to be asked for, because almost every recording company, or legitimate recording company, insists on everything being signed, sealed, and delivered before they will allow the record to come out. They have to, because if they don't, then they've got lawsuits all over the place. But in the early days, 10 years or so or more ago, that was not the case. And you had to bring legal action, which I had to do a number of times.
Well, I understood at one point that, according to some artists, that if they mentioned the artist to whom they had sampled on mm-hmm. the recording, then that was all right. That made it okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Some artists hated that. I mean, there were a couple of times when it was recordings that I thought were particularly offensive that I would make the license with the proviso that they didn't use my name. Please don't use my name on this.
I see.
But that has really nothing to do with the legality of whether they have the rights to do it or not. If you own the copyright to the recording or the publishing on the composition, they have to have permission. And if they don't, it's they can't use it.
So has everything pretty much straightened out since the early days, or for the most part? Or?
It's a wild industry. In most ways, it's been nothing but a wonderful cottage industry in the area of making a lot of income in ways that I never thought that I would. I learned the value of copyrights in an amazing way. In other ways, it's been a test of trying to keep up with a genre that in many ways I don't really know probably half of what's going on. So if there are things that would involve me policing them to find out what people are doing without getting permission, I know that I'm not totally up to speed.
Have you worked with anyone more directly, as opposed to someone using your older recording? Have you collaborated on anything?
Yes, most directly a guy named Rob Swift.
Okay.
Who's a real good friend, and I think he's majorly talented, and he's part of the new generation. He's a turntablist, and because of his craft, he uses other people's recordings and uses them very creatively.
Right.
And when I found out about him, and I found out how creative and how skillful he was, I ended up seeking him out.
Oh, great.
And we have formed a very interesting friendship, and we actually did a gig over in Japan a couple of years ago with what I called the Bob James Hip Hop Trio.
Oh, really?
Rob, instead of normal bass and drums, piano bass and drums thing, I had a Rob playing the turntables and a jazz saxophonist named David McMurray, who plays with me all the time.
Okay.
And the three of us had this very unusual thing, and we recorded it, and we're actually thinking of releasing a CD and making something out of it.
My religion, and it alone do I dig. Yeah, 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 boy, what a wonderful feeling jazz is.
No, I'm still kind of a work in progress.
Oh, right.
But I followed Rob's career, and he's had several very cool records of his own. And
mm-hmm.
He's the only one like that, and I certainly am not seeking that out because my main deal is still a jazz deal. But right. I was curious to know what it would be like to go on the other side of the fence.
Right, right. Well, tell us something about yourself, because a lot of people just know what's been sampled. How did you get started? Were you a session guy back in the day? Or?
Well, I have to say that there are an awful lot of people from this sample field that become very surprised when they find out that I'm still alive. These samples to these people came from the olden days,
mm-hmm.
or from somewhere back in the Stone Age, and I guess in some ways that's a sobering thought, but I always thought of it as being flattering, whatever, I don't know. But for whatever the reason was, the early 70s
right.
was a period of time where the recordings from that era were of particular interest to rappers and eventually to hip-hop community, and mine ended up in the library of a lot of these producers at the right place at the right time.
Well, what did you do before you started doing these recordings?
Well, I had already been in the music business as a session guy, and my first, very, very first jazz record was made in 1963, so I go back a long ways.
Thank you.
But then I had a period of time where I was not working as a leader. I was doing mostly session work and work with other artists. And I toured for 5 years as Sarah Vaughan's music director.
Oh, great.
Back in the 1960s. And then...
Did you work with Roy Ayers?
Roy Ayers. I did one sort of indirect project with him back in that era.
Which one was that?
I'm trying to remember the name.
Oh, okay.
I don't even remember the name of it now.
Okay.
It was, he was not somebody that I worked with directly.
Okay.
He's also one of the ones from that era who's been sampled an awful lot, I know.
This is true.
We have a parallel history.
Right, exactly.
I was a very good friend of Quincy Jones back then, a long time ago, and he became a very important person to me, introduced me to a lot of different people, including a guy named Creed Taylor.
Ah, yes.
Who, his label, CTI,
yes,
became like the library for hip-hop samples, actually.
Yes.
And so my recording's being very much a part of that. That was my whole life back
right
in that. On the records that I wasn't the leader on, I was either a sideman playing piano or I was arranging.
Again, you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm playing an exchange that I had with Bob James. This originally aired during the hip-hop takeover in June of 2006. So let me be quick to let you know that you're listening to right now, I Never Told You, from Quincy Jones, Walking in Space. This is a Bob James arrangement, and that's him on electric pianos. A&M CTI 1969 release. Before that, we heard Quest, Bob James, as you've never heard him before, written by Bob James, Bob James Trio. Oh, there he is now. Bold Conceptions is the name of that release. Yeah, once again, the song is Quest. It's the Bob James Trio, Bold Conceptions. Bob James on piano, Ron Brooks on bass, and Bob Pozar on drums. And that's a 1962 Mercury Records release. Before that, we heard Jazz Is My Religion, DJ Rob Swift, a.k.a. Robert Aguilar, who was formerly with Executioners. And that is a release with Bob James and David McMurray. It's a little difficult to find. It's from Built From Scratch, MYX. Built From Scratch presents Turntable Jazz. And it was available on Rob Swift's MySpace page. It was released in 2008. Before that, we heard a bit from DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Here We Go Again, liberally sampled, Westchester Lady. This is from He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper, in 1988 Jive Records, and we started the program off with I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, Nina Simone. Our theme. Stay tuned for more Bob James, and some interesting music and discussion. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM.
lots and lots of people.
And
that was my life in the early 70s. My first solo project for Creed Taylor's label, CTI, was in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an album called One.
Right.
And on that album was a song called Nautilus.
Right.
Which really became probably the most sampled recording, and that's probably the most surprising thing to me, because no one paid any attention to that song at all. came out.
No, not really. I remember during that time when I heard it. As a matter of fact, I heard your music on a radio station here in New York that played R&B and jazz and Latin music.
Was it BLS?
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Oh, it was fabulous.
Frankie Crocker?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, of course.
And it was in 74, it was like every, almost every year after that, there seemed to have been like some great recording from you.
Well, it was a wonderful era. And I always thought of it as a repertory group because we would trade back and forth, either being leader on one session or sideman on another. And I could get Grover Washington to play on my record, and then I would play on his or my arrangements. And we, it was just a very creative period of time, and jazz was undergoing a big transition. There were rock elements that were coming into it, and jazz artists were being featured on pop recordings in various different kind of ways, and it was a very exciting period of time. But what got me my solo record and really started my solo career off was I had done the first instrumental cover version of a song called Feel Like Making Love. It was a big hit for Roberta Flack.
And that's Gene McDaniel's song.
Gene McDaniel's song, and Gene McDaniel's hired me to play on Roberta's session.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I first heard that song. And
oh,
I loved
wonderful.
It, and I thought, gee, this song is going to be a hit. Let me pop in the studio as fast as I can and do an instrumental version. I used exactly the same rhythm section that was on Roberta's record.
Oh, okay. And who was, can you remember who?
Sure. Guitar player was Richie Reznikoff. Gary King was playing bass. Idris Muhammad was playing
on
drums.
Yeah.
And me. I think that was it. There may have been somebody else. I don't think so. I think that was basic rhythm section.
Strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring. Walking in the dark. Seeing lovers do their thing. Ooh, that's the time. I feel like making love to you. That's the time. I feel like making dreams come true. To show. Walking in the dark, seeing lovers.
way things worked out, Roberta was kind of mad at me because even though she had recorded her version first, and
right.
she sort of had an exclusive on the song, that was a kind of important thing, still is, but I got my project finished a lot quicker than she did. She was still working on it, and my record came out before hers.
Oh, I see.
And that was a kind of a no-no.
Oh. But, and that was on one.
Yeah.
Along with Nautilus.
Yeah. But she got over it, and we stayed friends, and it did not keep her record from becoming a hit.
Definitely not.
But the fringe benefit for me was that they radio stations used to play both versions. They would play hers, and then they would play mine. And
Wonderful.
They'd play them back-to-back, and that was a very cool thing, and it got my career off to a start. And I had another piece called A Night on Bald Mountain.
Yes.
Also, and those two cuts, Feel Like Making Love and Night on Bald Mountain, were the ones that got all the airplay and really got me off to a start. And this was the era of the LP, where
right.
there was a side A and a side B. You always try to get your strongest cuts up front, you know, to be cut one on side A.
Okay.
Or maybe cut one on side B. But Nautilus was the last cut on side B.
Huh.
It couldn't have been more in a more obscure place on that record, which is what I, you know, 20 years later, or no, 30 years later, whatever it has been, to have it suddenly surface was a big shocker.
Rock chemistry.
To a solo, get in the flow, and you can picture like a photo. Music makes mellow, maintains to make melodies for MCs, motivates the breaks. I'm everlasting, I can go on for days and days with rhyme displays that engrave deepest x-rays. I can take a phrase that's rarely heard, flip, now I'm daily worthy. I can get filler than armor, kill any bomb, but no alarm. Rock camera, remain calm. Self-esteem make me super superb and supreme. Before a microphone, still out of vein. This was a take, I wasn't supposed to break. I was supposed to wait, but let's motivate. I wanna see them keep following, swallowing, taking the mission, fighting the ball. Brothers trying, others die to get the formula. But I'ma let you sweat, you still ain't warm. You a step away from frozen, stiff as if you're posing. Digging through my brain as the rhyme gets chosen. So follow me, or what you're thinking you were first. Let's travel at beneficent speeds around the universe. What can you say as the earth gets further and further away? Planets are small, the balls of clay are straying through the Milky Way. World's out of sight, far as the eye can see, not even a satellite. Now stop and turn around and look at the stand of darkness, your knowledge took. So keep staring, soon you'll suddenly see a star. You better follow it, cause it's the awe. This is the lesson, if you guess it, if you're following, hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Follow the leader, rock chemistry. 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 Follow the leader.
This is a lifetime mission, vision of prison. I listen. In this journey of the journal, I'm the journalist. Am I eternal or an eternalist? I'm about to flow long as I could possibly go. Keep you moving cause the crowd said so dance. Cuss, rip your pants, every beat on the plate. Bleeding to death, call an ambulance. Pull out my weapon and start to squeeze. A magnum at the microphone, murdering MCs. Let's quote a rhyme from a record I wrote.
Follow the leader.
Yeah, don't. Cause every time I stop, it seems you're stuck. As soon as you try to step off, you're self-destruct. I came to overcome before I'm gone. By showing and proving and letting knowledge be born. Then after that, I'll live forever. You disagree, you say never. Then follow me from century to century. You'll remember me in history, not a mystery or a memory. Drawn by nature, mind raised in Asia. Since you was tricked, I have to raise ya. From the cradle to the grave. But remember, you're not a slave. The rules were here to be much more than that. But we couldn't see because our mind was trapped. But I'm here to break away the chains, take away the pains, remake the brains, rebuild my name. I guess somebody told you a little now it's dangerous. It can't be mixed, diluted, it can't be changed. The switch, here's a lesson if you get what I'm following. Hurry, hurry, step right up, keep following the leader.
Follow the leader, rock chemistry. 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 Follow the leader, rock chemistry.
lyrics are fury. My third eye make me shine like jewelry. You're just a rental rapper, your rhymes are minute made. I'll be here when it fade, I watch it flip like a renegade. I can't wait to break and eliminate on every trade of a snake, so stay awake and follow and follow, because the tempo's a trail, the stage is a cage, the mic is a third rail. I rock him, the fiend of a microphone, I'm not him, so leave my mic alone. Soon as the beat is felt, I'm ready to go, so fasten your seatbelt, cause I'm about to flow. No need to speed, slow down and let the leader lead. Word to daddy, indeed, the R's a roller stone, so I'm rolling. Directions are told, then the rhymes are stolen. Stop bugging, a brother said dig him, I never tell him. He couldn't follow the leader long enough, so I drug him. It's a danger zone, he should arrange his own face. It's basic, erase the change of tone. There's one R in the alphabet, it's a one letter word and it's about to get more complex from one rhyme to the next. Every DBE be known the flex. I've been from state to state, followers tailgate, keep coming but they came too late, but I wait. So back up, regroup, get a grip, come equipped, you're the next contestant. Clap your hands, you want a trip, the price is right, don't make a deal too soon. How many notes get the name this tune? Follow the leader is a title theme tab. Now you know you don't have to add. Rap is rhythm and poetry, cuss create sound effects. You might catch up if you follow the records he wrecks. Until then, keep eating and swallowing. You better take a deep breath and keep following the leader.
Follow the leader, our chemistry.
Keep following
our chemistry. Follow the leader, 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 our chemistry.
Follow the leader, our chemistry.
Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry.
Follow the leader,
our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader, our chemistry. Follow the leader.
Follow the leader.
Let the rhythm hit 'em. I'm the awesome. I got a chill of big lyrics and ammo. Rhymes and rhythm, then I'm gonna get my piano. Bring a bulletproof vest up in the ricochet. Ready aiming at your brain and with the trigger say. Tempo's trifle, felt like a rifle. Massage and melodies might go right through simultaneously like a Uzi. Nothing can fool me. Lyrics let up when ladies say don't lose me. So reload quickly and you better hit me. While I'm letting this beat get with me. The step of the 007, better make it snappy. No time to do your hair, baby. Brothers busting at me. Beats and bullets passing on our target. They brought the hard hit, but watch the guard get. Bring up the tongue to trigger, cause I'm real fast. Let on some rhythm, madam. Let them feel the blast. Penetrate at a crazy rate. This ain't affiliate. Hit them at point blank range and watch them radiate. Running out of ammunition. I'm done with them. You ask me how I did them, I let the rhythm hit. Prepare to be a prisoner. The hitman is the lover with charisma. Showing you that I have powerful paragraphs. Followers become leaders, but without a path, they're mentally paralyzed. Quick with your third eye, bound to blur, bend at a curve that you heard. I reduce the friction, for crucifixion. Let loose the mixing, boost the piston. Every kid with some of that. Cut like a lumberjack, and me get hits back. It won't be none of that, I'm untouchable. You see me in 3D when I let the rhythm hit another MC. Lyrics made a lead into your head, then eruption of a mass production is spread when music is louder, full of gunpowder, microphone machinery when I see a crowd. Party people bumping they fists like this, they're hiding the back, thinking that I might miss, but the art is accurate, plus I'm pastoring, educated punchlines that I have to hit, whatever I aim at, I line them up, your body is weird, feel a pain, that time is up, you've been hit with something different, isn't it, rocking is going to radiate, nothing's equivalent, nothing can harm me, why try and bomb me, you couldn't around with Rob with an army, you can bet by the architect, so respect him. I disconnect him soon as I inject him with radiation. Put him by the basement, bust his chest open, bash his face, and let it split. Since he brought his main man with him, he asked me how I did him. I let the rhythm hit him. Let it hit him. Dance floor is dangerous, packed in like a briefcase. Rhythm of real rough rhyme beats with deep bass. Girls with tight pants, maybe they might dance. Tonight if the R's on the mic, it's a slight chance. The crowd is crucial, MC's grounds are neutral. Now that you're here, let me introduce you. Get ready, I'm hard to read like graffiti but steady. Science I drop is real heavy, radiant energy. That'll be the penalty, touch the third rail on the pain and remedy. The prescription's one every hour, now it's a habit. You need another hit from the freestyle fanatic. Attention,
follow directions real close. Keep out of reach of children, beware. Overdose, too many milligrams. The one made an iller jam. My rhymes is the rhythm. My thoughts are killer, man. Ideas for the head of fear. Might split them. He'll never forget him. He'll rest in peace with him. At least when he left, he'll know one hit him. The last breath of the world, the death was the rhythm. If I speed, they know they'll blow the hell up. If I slow, they catch up. Hell no, wicked as I kicked it. No need to remix it, cause I prefixed it. Reverse to switch to perform to perfection. Section for section, rhymes keep connecting. You're guessing what's next then. Blood pressure rises, you damn near lost it. Hit the ground burning and woke up frostbit. Cause when I explain, you can't complain for pain. Travel through the brain, hit a vein, then remain. Let it radiate, vibe for vibrate. Why did you violate? Now I'ma have to let your style break. Bones now, the tone is ain't grown after. Get stoned, give me another microphone before I get that beat I met. Whisper, I wanna reach your intellect. Kiss her, cause I wanna give her the most respect. So I shine and let my light reflect. Hold her, mold her, make her feel older. Lay her on my shoulder, everything I told her. Makes her feel secure whenever I'm with her. And you know how I did her, me and the rhythm hit her.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for December 8th. In this segment of the show, we bring you aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. We start with the subject of tonight's show, Bob James. You can catch him at the Blue Note this week, where he appears with the group 4Play from the 10th to the 14th. See BlueNote.net for info. Pianist Harold Mayburn is at the Jazz Standard as part of saxophonist George Coleman's new octet, from the 11th to the 15th, go to jazzstandard.net for details on this show. Organist Akiko Saruga appears at Showman's on West 125th Street on the 12th and next week on the 19th. See the Showman's website at showmansjazzclub.com for details. Drummer Will Calhoun plays the Brooklyn Academy of Music's BAM Cafe with a free show on the 13th. See BAM.org for details. That's BAM, BAM.org for details. And click on the link for the cafe. Drummer Michael Carvin will be at the Kitano Jazz Club on December 13th and the 14th. Go to Kitano.com. That's Kitano.com, where you can find details on his shows. The musical Lady Day continues its run at the Little Schubert Theater on West 42nd Street, with vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater starring as Billie Holiday in a story of her final comeback. Go to LadyDayTheMusical.com for info and tickets. Looking ahead to next week, pianist Jerry Allen leads a quartet including drummer Jeff Tane Watts at the Village Vanguard from December 17th to the 22nd. See VillageVanguard.com for details on these shows. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click on the link for the blog. Tonight's playlist and audio from this and previous shows are on the website as well. Remember that WBAI is still in serious financial trouble. Help us stay on the air by pledging whatever you can at give to, that's the number 2, WBAI.org, where you can consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. This is Hank Williams signing off. Thanks to our newly expanded schedule, we'll see you next Sunday, December 15th, on the Bandstand.
All right. Thank you, Hank Williams, for On the Bandstand. And I'll repeat that Bob James, along with Foreplay, are going to be at the Blue Note from December 10th through the 14th. And you should catch him. And let's see, before On the Bandstand, we heard Let the Rhythm Hit 'Em. We heard two from Eric B. and Rakim. Love them. Let the Rhythm Hit 'Em and Follow the Leader. Let the Rhythm Hit 'Em was the title cut from the MCA 1990 release. And before that, the title cut, Follow the Leader, from the 1988 Uni Records / MCA release. Before that, we heard the Bob James version of Feel Like Making Love from One, CTI 1974 release. And before that, we heard the Roberta Flack version of Feel Like Making Love, the title cut from the 1975 Atlantic Records release. And before that, we heard the song that was sampled from that was used in Eric B. and Rakim's recordings, Nautilus, from One, 1974 release, Bob James. Stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl. And some Miles Davis, a little more Miles Davis, Amandla. Oh, by the way, there's a clip on sugarinmybowl.org website. Hank put up a YouTube video of Bob James and Foreplay at in South Africa. And he also put up the opening and closing credits of Taxi. So that should be interesting to see. Stay tuned.
Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, the best radio station you'll ever hear.
Well, that's the thing about hip-hop DJs, turntablists. They tend to find the obscure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the ones that have great ears, and I think Rob Swift is definitely one of them,
right. That's
a big perk for them if they can come up with something that nobody's ever heard before, some obscure classical European thing. They take one little snatch from it.
Right. Well, you did that with, Farandole on two.
Well, in a different way. We were definitely taking, of course, my feeling about that at that time was, Creed Taylor loved the idea of doing cover versions of classical themes.
Could you say the title? Could you
Farandole.
Okay.
Farandole. Yeah, it's a classical theme by a composer named Bizet.
Mm-hmm. B-I-Z-E-T, for those at home.
Mm-hmm. Georges Bizet.
Yes.
some classical pieces, to me, are only one step removed from pop songs. Mm. They're strong melodies, and that's what I really responded to. And it was not like I was really trying to play that classical piece, but I took the essence of the melody and reinterpreted it as a jazz piece. So I suppose in some ways it's similar to sampling in that you take something that is, you take it out of its normal context and put it into another context.
Yes, make it something completely new.
And Bizet didn't have his copyright still on it, so I didn't have to worry about that aspect of it.
It was public domain by that point.
Right.
And what else was on there? There was Take Me to the Mardi Gras?
Those two were on my second album.
Right, that was on two.
Yeah.
Right.
And Take Me to the Mardi Gras, for a very obscure reason, that has been a wonderful fringe benefit, nice financial thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can only really take very indirect credit for it, because the most obvious sample that's been sampled the most amount of times was the intro, was just a rhythmic cowbell figure.
Mm. The drums as well, right?
And the drums and the cowbell, and there's just the groove, and it really doesn't have anything to do with Take Me to the Mardi Gras. The sample that they use doesn't have the melody. Cowbell guy was Ralph McDonald.
Yes.
Ralph was basically a conga player and played a lot of percussion, but he was a great conga player.
Uh-huh.
And of course, pretty great composer, too.
Right.
He ended up having some pretty major copyrights from his songs that he co-wrote with Bill Eaton.
So you want to talk about three? You want to tell me about
three? Sure, Westchester Lady. Exactly. Probably, I still get many, you know, I can't get through a show without playing Westchester Lady one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
We even play with the Foreplay group.
I was just going to ask you that, whether you played any of your songs with Foreplay.
Usually not, but mm-hmm. sometimes for an encore, after we've gone through our whole repertoire, we'll end the show. Lately, we've been playing encore, doing Larry Carlton's song, Smiles and Smiles to Go, which is one of his most recognizable ones.
Okay.
And then we finish off with playing Westchester Lady.
Thank you.
Now, Larry Colton's on guitar.
Yes.
And Nathan
East
is on bass.
And Harvey Mason on drums.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that's good to know. That's something to look forward to if I ever go see Foreplay. If I can afford a ticket.
Well, you know, it depends on the venue.
That's true.
Every now and then there are free venues.
Okay. Now, Westchester Lady, where did that come from? How did that happen? What was the...
Well, the most fun behind-the-scenes thing about Westchester Lady is that I had an idea of having it be a vocal.
Hmm.
And I had this little vocal hook thing. What you gonna do, Westchester Lady? You know, kind of a little thing that I had done.
That sounds so 70s.
And it was very 70s.
Yes.
And I had hired in my vocal background group, amongst other people, I'm not sure whether Patty Austin was in there because she did a lot of my sessions, but who definitely was in there was Luther Vandross.
Oh, wow.
And it was very early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He was just kind of basically a session guy, still doing session days. He hadn't become the big superstar that he eventually did.
Right.
He was great and used all of the stuff that he learned in the studio on his way to doing his own thing. But we did this session with this vocals, and Cree Taylor didn't like it.
Oh.
And he was right, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of corny, whatever it was. And he convinced me to leave the vocals out. And so we ended up just using the instrumental thing, and it became very successful for me. But I saw Luther on many occasions after that,
mm-hmm.
and Luther would never let me off the hook. He said, you know, if you'd used my vocal, you'd have been a much bigger hit than it was. You could have been a really big superstar.
That's funny.
You hadn't cut my vocals out of it.
Oh, gosh. So Foreplay did a cover of sorts of that, did they not, of Westchester Lady?
Well, Lee Ritenour did a kind of a hybrid thing,
mm-hmm.
which he called Play Lady Play,
yeah.
in which he took part of the melody. And I had mixed feelings about that when he did it, but I was cooperative, and it worked out okay. But I like the original version better.
Yeah, I do too, and it seems like a lot of other people do as well. We're on our way to four, I guess. Tappan Zee.
And this has such sentimental value to me because I ended up using that name as the name of my record label.
Exactly.
And the Tappan Zee Bridge was very important to me because I used to go across that bridge when I would do all the recording sessions at Rudy Van Gelder's studio. That studio in Inglewood Cliffs, New Jersey, was where all of the CTI recordings were made.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I lived in Westchester County on the other side of the Hudson River, and my commute was going across that Tappan Zee Bridge.
I see.
And I always had these new tunes that I was planning to go into the studio with, and most often I didn't have a title. And one of the days I had this song, knowing that I needed to have a title for it, and I came up with using Tappan Zee. And it was years later that I had the opportunity to have my own small record label, and I ended up calling that Tappan Zee.
Oh,
That's great. That's a great thing to know. I really like that song. And that was also, Angela was also from there. The theme from Taxi? From Four?
No.
Oh,
that, boy, you're really putting me to the test with my own memory of this. Some of this history kind of goes back a long ways now.
Oh, wait a minute.
Lucky enough, I've made an awful lot of records, but it's from Touchdown.
Oh, okay, so, Touchdown. All right.
Angela is from
Touchdown. That's right. That was 1970. Yes, it was. Angela must have really, for those who, you know, who weren't listening to jazz, this was probably their introduction, watching Taxi and hearing the theme.
Yeah, and it was my first real blatant opportunity to see the power of television, and that you're instantly getting exposure with such a larger audience, drastically larger audience, millions of people, where I thought I had a pretty good audience with the jazz community by that time, but that's down there in the thousands, and this TV show was up there in the millions of people, who, a lot of whom weren't necessarily jazz fans at all, but they had a chance to hear that theme over and over and over again, get to know it. And to this day, it also is one that, because of the success of the series for over such a long period of time, it's one that people still remember and they ask me for all the time.
I still like it. It's such a beautiful song.
Indirectly, you had been talking about the Four record. The reason why I got the Taxi call to write the music for that series was because one of the producers of Taxi had my Four album in their record collection.
Oh.
And they were experimenting with what kind of sound to come up with for the series, and they liked the mood or the sound, or there was something about that record that they liked, and they ended up seeking me out and called me to ask me if I would create some new music in a similar vein to the Four record.
Oh, okay. I noticed, back to Tappan Zee, since you brought up Four again, that it was covered by a gospel hip-hop group. Gospel Gangsters. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Well, actually, Joyce, I'm cheating a little bit because I'm looking at this list that I have of samples.
That's good.
Pretty big list.
That's good. I'm looking at one, too.
And I know that it was sampled on there, but and I used to listen to these things just at least once so that I would know, you know, how blatant the sample was or whatever. And I don't really remember that at all. I don't know how long ago that recording was made, but I don't remember how they used it or what they did. Or...
My nephew, at that time he was little, he introduced me to it. And I was kind of surprised. Well, first I was surprised to know that there was hip-hop gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then to hear the sample being used that way. And I guess as far as gospel is concerned, it was used rather well.
I wish I had been a lot more vigilant about keeping a collection of the cassettes and the recordings and then kind of organizing it. And because by now I'd have this very large library of all these recordings. And I... to some degree, I have it, but I'm nowhere near up to date with all of it. I wish I'd be able to just go back to that recording and then check it out.
Wow, I think people ought to come up to you and just hand you a recording. Just
me
like,
too.
Here,
Joyce,
I used it.
You know, I like your attitude.
We was on our way in a line trizzy, but now we shiver through the dough with a non-frizzle.
Original gospel gangsta, Mr. P. If you didn't hear me, I'm in front of a living concert. Them say them soul on the voucher. And yet you know what they miss out on the voucher. It's shock, with the place of a rock. And then they have to make the people, them and them a rock. Non-stop, because original gospel gangsta in the party. When them call me, oh, double beat into the original gangsta. They say in the party, gospel, yes, you know, say that they are telling me all the tea. Yes, you know, say that they super producer. Me say yes, I'm Mr. Solo. In the ear, ya think that make the girl the non-stop rocker. Why you been up and me say chill at that? Anyway, that they go, you know we are the non-stop. If you know original gospel gangsta, me tell you no original gospel gangsta, they party.
There's also Lookalike.
Mm-hmm. And
from Lucky 7.
And this definitely was not one of the records that ever really got any focus in my memory when through my normal channels.
Do you remember anything about the recording of Lookalike? Or?
Well, I remember that my composition had enough similarity to the Cole Porter song, How About You, that I was equally worried at that time whether I was ripping Cole Porter off than I was with anybody else ripping me off 20 years later. Nobody from the Cole Porter estate ever came after me.
Oh, good.
And maybe I wasn't that close to it, but it always felt to me like I was.
Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, the song that he mentioned was, you know, I think that's why I cut in like this. It wasn't by Cole Porter, although I had thought it was as well. It's usually related to something having to do with Cole Porter, but it's actually by Burton Lane and Ralph Freed.
Thank you.
one thing about jazz that seems very similar to hip-hop, and even as you've been talking about it, it seems that there's something of a sharing that goes on.
Definitely, and when it's in the best spirit of things, which is the way I think things should be,
right?
That sharing is a good thing.
Right. Well, Bob, I really thank you for your generosity of time.
Thank you. I wish you the best with this series, and I'm just glad to know that there's this continuity going on and that there's still that much interest.
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine said about your music as years go by, he says that you probably single-handedly created the smooth jazz.
I get blamed for that more than I get credit
for. You really?
Yeah, and I'm not happy with the blame.
Really? How do you feel about
that? I'll hold on to hoping that if there was anything in that way, that I'd like some credit for the good side of it that
doesn't
always come out.
Well, what do you think about the concept of smooth jazz or that whole wide, you know, that title? And what's been done with it?
What I say very often is that a lot of the music that I make is smooth. I don't think there's anything wrong with being smooth, but I would much prefer to be thought of as a full service. You know, sometimes it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's we could talk about so many examples of great jazz artists in the past whose music was very, very smooth, at least some of the time. So in the business way, if a radio station feels the need to smooth or tranquilize or take the stress out of people's work day or whatever, and they choose the smoother cuts from jazz artists, that's really more a phenomenon of radio than it is the artists themselves.
Right.
And I don't like it when we get stereotyped and that the audience that comes to us through smooth jazz radio thinks that that's the only thing that we do.
Okay.
But that's just a factor of that's the only songs that get played.
Right.
The only songs that would have a chance to get played in a radio format where they're deliberately trying to do nothing but smooth music, they'll pick your smoothest cuts. And you might have an album that has 10 cuts on it and two of them are smooth. That's the one they're going to pick.
Okay. I always wondered about how jazzers who have been placed in that category felt about that, and especially since people credit you with this.
Yeah, I know, and it can be very frustrating because people do stereotype, they pigeonhole you, and you have to live with it because very often that's what gets written in the press, and once something gets down on paper, a lot of people take that as a gospel, and that's just part of the business. But I don't really let it affect what I do very much. I follow my passion and try to make the best music that I can make and hope for the best. I'm very, very happy when my music gets played on the radio. The toughest part of that problem, without us getting sidetracked into a whole other conversation, we could go on all night on that, but the younger artists that don't have a reputation who are desperately trying to get heard are far more tempted to change their music because of knowing that it has to be smooth or a particular style that the radio station dictates. And when the cart is pulling the horse and when the radio station is telling the artist what to do and the artist is forced into cooperating because they need to have their music heard, then it's backwards, in my opinion.
I agree.
And we all try to fight for keeping the music in the passionate, coming from the heart kind of way and hoping for the best and hoping that, you know, I feel an awful lot of the time if you pay too much attention to radio and you start making this formula music in that way, you might be out of luck anyway because their formats change so damn fast that by the time you had this formula going that you thought was going to guarantee you some airplay, that radio station has changed into something else. Now they're doing chill music, or now they're doing this or that, or whatever it is.
Right.
And I always try to say to young musicians who are in that formative, vulnerable time to try their best to follow their heart.
Well, thank you very much, Bob James, once again, for giving us this time and giving us those pearls of wisdom, because that also applies to hip-hop artists, because hip-hop artists are also asked to change their sound.
You bet. Nobody is immune to that problem.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Joyce.
And many times, thank you.
You're very welcome. Enjoy talking with you.
Same here. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones, and you just finished hearing an exchange between me and Bob James that originally was aired during the hip-hop takeover in June of 2006. I sort of dressed up the show and thought I'd present it to you tonight. And just to let you know what you've heard, we're listening to Carrie right now. It's Bob James and Earl Klug from One on One. Bob James, of course, on piano and Earl Klug on guitar. CTI 1979 release. And before that, we heard Lookalike. Bob James, Lucky Seven, also released in 1979 on CTI. And before Lookalike, we heard How About You? The song that Bob James thought Lookalike sounded quite a bit like. That's the Oscar Peterson Trio from a compilation, A Jazz Odyssey. It's Oscar Peterson on piano, Herb Ellis on guitar, Ray Brown on bass, and that's a 2002 Verve release, originally recorded in 1957. Before that, we heard Vengeance Is Mine from the Gospel Gangsters. Gang Affiliated is the name of the release, and it's from a 1996 Holy Terra, T-E-R-R-A, release. And thank you, Shannon, Nephew Shannon, for introducing me to Gospel Gangsters. Before that, we heard Angela, the theme from Taxi. That's Bob James from Touchdown, a 1978 CTI release. That was Eric Gale on that guitar solo, just in case you didn't know. Westchester Lady was before that from Bob James's 3, 1976 CTI release is Grover Washington Jr. on tenor and soprano sax. I mean, it sounded like it, didn't it? And let's see, before that we heard Farandole. There's a whole title behind this, like Farandole La Sienne Suite 2. Farandole. F-A-R-A-N-D-O-L-E from Georges Bizet. Covered by Bob James. Take Me to the Mardi Gras. Both of those are from 2 from the Bob James CTI 1974 release. And that is Hubert Laws tearing up that flute on Farandole. And let's see, coming up next is La Nueva Alternativa. Let's listen to the rest of Bob James and Earl Klug, and I will see you next week during the winter drive. Stay tuned. This is indeed WBAI New York 99.5 FM.
Hello? Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.